welcome to American Godcast, a podcast for Starz's American Gods. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin, a god.
I'm Pete.
And we do a regular podcast called Comic Book Club every Tuesday night in New York live and also podcast on the Nerdist Network. We're big comic book fans, big Neil Gaiman fans. So we decided to do a podcast for this, even though the show is not coming out for a little bit. This is a preview episode. We're going to have a little bit of a different format once we actually get into the show, and we'll roll that out as an after show podcast. But why don't we start off? Should we talk about Neil Gaiman and our experiences and love for him?
Sure. So Neil Gaiman wrote the original novel that this series is based on, called American Gods. And
what's a novel?
A novel is like a comic book without pictures but longer.
Weird.
So yeah, it's a little weird. The pages are
fun.
Yeah. Sometimes there's superheroes in it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, when you think about it, gods are like superheroes. They're like the original superheroes.
Well, that's what.
This is weird. Actually, you can't see this because we're on an audio podcast. But when Justin said that, he actually turned his chair around and put his hat backwards.
Yeah.
And then he started rapping about Shakespeare.
I'm a cool teacher, and we're all going to learn a lesson and make it fun.
Oh, boy.
So you, Justin, are probably the biggest Neil Gaiman fan that I know.
Hell yeah.
Is that because you're a classically trained actor?
It's unrelated, but, you know, there's a love of the finer works in life. And I've been a fan of Neil Gaiman's comic book work. All of his books, I've read all of them.
All of them?
All of them. Short stories, even his series of essays he wrote.
Wow. Really?
And some of them are just like reviews of stuff I've never heard of. So I was like, oh, okay, cool.
You will read anything by him, apparently.
Great writer.
Huh. So I'm curious, on the other end of the spectrum,
Pete doesn't know how to read.
Opposite of Justin in a lot of ways.
This is the first time you've ever heard of Neil Gaiman.
No. Okay. I'm a big fan of his short story collections. My favorite is Smoke and Mirrors.
Oh, nice, Pete.
My favorite story they ever did was the one of that he ever did.
This is another fun fact you might not know, is Neil Gaiman is a collection of smaller Neil Gaimans, all in a trench coat.
Yeah. Yep. Don't look under the trench coat.
He tried to sneak into an R-rated movie once. And
that's the biggest reveal of the podcast.
Yeah, it was off to the
races.
Anyways,
my favorite story is the one about a little old lady who goes and accidentally gets the Holy Grail from the Salvation Army, and she has to deal with all these knights showing up at her house.
That's a good
idea. You would like the idea of knights showing up at your house?
No, I just think it's a really cool story.
Pete's into old ladies.
Oh, what? That's weirder, Pete.
That's not. No, he said that. I didn't say that.
Yeah, I think I'm between you two guys. I've read a bunch of his comics, been a fan for a while. I read American Gods. I've read, Neverwhere. Thank you. I've read Neverwhere as well and watched the TV series, the British TV series based on it. I know. That's because I'm fancy.
Yeah, what a natty little man you are. What a natty.
Other than that, I guess I'm in the middle. Actually, you're a bigger fan, Pete, than I thought you are.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think he's very creative in his writing, and I really like this storytelling style.
Yeah. So other than that, though, we've met Neil Gaiman a couple of times. Not to name drop.
Cool. Well, we were talking about him.
But we are talking about him.
We picked up his name and then redropped it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a Mr. Bean routine.
Very British. Very good reference.
Well, this is more effete podcast.
What an Anglophile.
It is.
This is very proper. This is all being scored by chamber music, right?
Exactly. Live, but you can't hear them because they're super tiny and all in a trench coat. Justin, what is your favorite experience meeting Neil Gaiman? Because I think I know what
obviously, I interviewed him once at New York Comic Con. It was New York Comic Con. And you guys made fun of me for weeks after. Because you could just see the hearts going out of my eyes looking at him. But to be fair, we were sitting there. The cameras weren't even rolling. He just looks out over the con and is like, can you believe this is all? He's like, has this epic, just like, speech.
Well, wait, we should, just to set the scene a little bit. So at the time, we were doing video coverage for Newsarama.com, and they were set up in one of these skyboxes at the Javits Center. If you've never been to the Javits Center, you can probably imagine what they are, but they're big glass boxes that look out on the entire convention floor So we're sitting there. It's pretty private. It's pretty quiet, but you can see everything, the bustle that's going on the con floor. And we're sitting there, and every single time guests would come in, they, instead of coming to talk to us, immediately would just go look out the window like it was a candy shop.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. So Neil Gaiman just gesturing out. You were sitting, I remember this so clearly, you were sitting, if you're facing, if you're the camera, you're on the right side, and he was on the left side. And I don't know, were you in the room at the time, Pete?
I wasn't.
You were not in the room. I, for some reason, was sitting on the floor in the middle. I don't know if I was...
You were like
answering
tying his
bad
shoes
questions
or giving him a massage,
something like that. But I was sitting on the floor on the other side of the cameras watching, and that's definitely, I've never seen, including photos of you and your wife, that much love in your face.
Cool. Oh man, you're an asshole for saying that. That's a fucking dick thing.
I was glowing. I was glowing, and so Neil and I mean, we. Obviously, it didn't work out, but we did have a couple kids together.
What did you say, though? What did you say? You guys didn't say that part.
He had this whole speech about how, like, he couldn't believe how far comics have come, and how back in the old days when he was just, because he was a journalist first and got into comics sort of after he'd done that for a bit, and just watching the space fill up as the day was going, it was just something that was super exciting for him.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Pete? Do you have a Neil Gaiman experience?
You know, the closest thing I came to meeting him was a picture of our friend who got to meet him. He gave him a sign that said Comic Book Club, and he held that up and then took his picture. So
that's right. That was pretty much in our first year, right?
Yeah.
That was cool. That was our first encounter with him, technically.
So
if you don't read comics, you probably don't know about Sandman and Sandman Overture, which was the prelude to that. But that's probably one of the seminal comic book series, one of the best comic book series that's ever been released. It's about the Lord of Dreams returns after many, many years away, and what happens there. I mean, that's essentially very simplified, but it's an incredible series.
It sets up a pantheon of favorites. Gods,
right? Exactly.
Very similar to the show American Gods, that we see their internal lives and their struggles over the course of a series of like great genre storytelling arcs.
It's incredible, and if you haven't read it, definitely pick it up. Years later, he revisited the series and did a series called Sandman Overture that touched on some stuff that was left open from the series, but technically took place beforehand. And DC had an event in New York when I was doing press for MTV, where they invited a couple of press people to go meet with Neil Gaiman and eat some Sandman cookies and chat with him on the record about the series coming out. And that was cool enough. But then,
what's a Sandman cookie?
It was like a cookie made out of sand,
like a pecan sandy.
Yeah, it was like a pecan sandy, exactly. And it had a little bit of sand in it, so
that's
kind of gross.
Great.
It was pretty gross. It was a terrible event. So It was great. But they gave us some separate time.
I don't know
time.
What to believe anymore with you.
They gave us some separate time to talk to Neil Gaiman. And when I sat down and asked him, there was the Sandman omnibus was sitting in front of us. And I asked him, I honestly do not even remember what the question was, because I asked him some question about something in Sandman, and he said, oh, well, let me show you, and then started to flip through the entirety of Sandman and just read it to me, which
very cool.
I don't even remember what he said, because the entire time I was like,
Yeah.
So we're
all in love with this, with this man.
And that's the end of the podcast.
Please, Neil, come back to us. We miss you, babe, and you know we all love you.
Yeah, little Justin Neil and Neil Justin.
Yeah,
they miss their dad.
So
our experience with Neil Gaiman. But what about American Gods? I've read it. Justin, you've read it. Pete, you've read the first issue of the comic book.
Yep.
So you're
that's plenty.
You're kind of our noob.
Yep.
As huge.
Yeah, as huge. This is great. We got a dynamic going.
We do. We have a traditionally known as chemistry.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me say, though,
of
all of Neil's books, American Gods, not one of my favorites.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
It's generally, like, it was his definitely biggest seller for a long time, was a huge book for him personally. But I'm a much bigger fan of Neverwhere and his short stories. And American Gods, I was like, oh, this is good, but it doesn't have the same pull as some of his other work.
Well, so why don't you establish what the plot of American Gods is for those who don't know, for those who haven't watched the show. And then explain, I'm curious why you don't like it as much.
Yeah, I mean, I read it so long ago, so I feel like maybe I should reread it to see if
maybe
I've changed.
Maybe it's better now that you reread it, because you've changed.
I changed, yeah. Have I changed in like 15 years, you think?
Nope. Yep.
Thank you, Alex. So the main character is a guy named Shadow. We meet him. He's in jail. And he starts to get mixed up with some strange folks that turn out to be gods. And he... I guess we don't want to spoil too much, but he gets sort of used and pushed in a bunch of different directions, meets a lot of old Norse gods, gods from different pantheons, and then starts to encounter new American gods that are a new emerging set of gods.
Right.
I have a question.
Yeah, Pete.
At what point does he start like realizing I'm not dealing with humans anymore? Because Shadow, I'm assuming, is just a regular dude.
We'll get into this, but it takes a while. There's a lot of mystery in the book, at least. There's a lot of information that's hidden. I think we'll get to this when we're actually talking about the show, but I finally read the book knowing the show was coming. I think I read it about probably 8 or 9 months ago, something like that. So I already knew the show was coming up, and it was really interesting to read it in that context, wondering... how are they going to do these reveals? There are things that in books on the page work because you don't know what the characters actually look like. But when you see them on screen, it doesn't work the same way.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Now, why didn't you like it as much?
I don't know. I feel like this was his second book. I think I said that. And Neverwhere was such a world that I felt wrapped up in that I really went along with a character. I feel like Shadow's a tougher character to get in his head. He's a bit gruff. He's pretty... he's stoic. He doesn't give a lot. And so maybe that was, I didn't identify with him as much. And I think it is like it's a coy story. You don't know what's happening until like a certain point in it, as opposed to feeling like a grand adventure. Neil Gaiman's book Stardust, which was also a movie, that feels like you're at the beginning of this grand adventure. There's all these unique characters and you just follow them on their journey. This is a little more dense.
The thing that's super interesting to me about the series to that point is the first season is only adapting the first third of the book.
Yeah.
So it's at least a 3-season story.
Oh,
and
boy.
The first third is a lot of setup. I mean, stuff happens and cool stuff happens, but they're gonna have to go Game of Thrones style and mix it around somehow, I think, to make it exciting as a TV show.
One does feel like that's what Starz is doing with this show. They want it to be their Game of Thrones. An author that a lot of people know. They have a great cast assembled, both the main characters and some of the guest stars and recurring characters.
I hope it's not like Game of Thrones.
What are you talking about?
I don't like Game of Thrones.
What don't you like about Game of Thrones? We're learning so many negative things about you guys on this podcast.
Well, that intro is super intense. It's like,
have you ever watched past the intro?
Yeah.
How far past?
I've watched the whole first episode, and then I've tried to jump in at different times, and it is really upsetting.
Christ. That is the lot of show to jump in at separate times.
It's a lot of weird incest. Like, it's just very backwards.
Lot of incest.
I'm sorry. Did you just fast forward to the incest parts?
No,
is that what you did?
Fast forward. What am I, a 1987 VCR?
Yes.
Yes, you are a 1987 VCR.
Yeah, I don't know. If you aren't, why have I been blowing inside of you this long?
That is a question I've had for a long time.
Yeah.
But I do think they're going to build out the world. I mean, we can get back to Pete's odd fandom later.
I'm sorry. I don't like Game of Thrones.
That's just crazy.
They threw a kid out a window. I mean, that was first
episode.
You only watched the first
episode.
And then I watched another episode where, like, these brats are having an argument by a goddamn river, and it's just so dumb. I'm like, why is anybody into this?
And then a dog dies.
It is heartbreaking as shit.
It's a wolf.
It's a dire wolf, as a matter of fact.
Jesus, Pete. Watch a
awful.
Little bit beyond.
No.
Well, fortunately for this show, American Gods, we're going to force you to watch it because we're going to be doing this podcast. But what I was saying is I think they're going to build out this world in the same way that Game of Thrones really expands on the universe of George R. R. Martin's.
No, Neil Gaiman.
Huh? What? I was talking about the same way that Game of Thrones expands on George R. R. Martin's universe.
Oh, I thought you were saying American Gods, the TV show, will expand on the universe of George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones.
We're cutting this part out.
And we're definitely not. I don't have time for that. Let's actually talk about the cast and crew because it is so ridiculous.
Yeah, let's get into the crew. So, yeah. I mean,
let's
I like
talk
the guy.
About the key grips.
The key grips.
I want a key grip.
The guy running the dolly is like just killer. It's
you
just
want to talk about great, smooth dolly work? I mean, this is going to be some of the best you've ever seen in television.
Just to check, the key grip is the guy who holds everybody's keys while they're shooting, right?
Yep, that's right. Because you want to make sure everyone drives home safe.
I didn't say it was a key party.
It seemed like you were wanting it to be a key party.
Okay, do you want me to keep blowing in you or not?
Great point.
What the fuck?
So we have some of the bigger names. Crispin Glover is playing one of the main characters in this show.
It's interesting that you started with Crispin Glover.
Well, Crispin Glover's
an international superstar.
He's a famous actor. He's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. It's just of all the people in the cast, it's funny that you started with Crispin
Glover.
He's a
creepy thin man, right?
Yeah, he's in Back to the Future.
You'd probably know him from Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
He said, get your goddamn hands off of her, Biff.
You're right. That just kind of blew my mind a little bit.
That's pretty good.
It will never strike me as not weird that he played the most straightforward, nerdy character ever in Back to the Future. Yet
and then was later revealed to be a crazy person.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
I would start with Ian McShane.
Ian McShane
is playing Mr. Wednesday. He's one of the two main roles. He's the guy that essentially gets the plot started by palling along with Shadow Moon, who's played by Ricky Whittle of The 100. Didn't get a lot to do on that show. Like he was on it for a while, but he didn't get it to do a lot. So it'll be really interesting to see him as Shadow Moon because. Yeah. He is such a blank slate, and that's essentially what Shadow Moon is in American Gods.
Right.
But, man, Ian McShane in Mr. Wednesday is perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just great. Ian McShane is such a good actor. Deadwood it was his, like, it brought him to, like, international stardom.
Are you talking about the dude from The Girl Next Door? That guy?
What?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Is he in Girl Next Door?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Are you thinking of Emile Hirsch?
Is that who I'm thinking of? No, I'm talking about the bad guy in The Girl Next Door.
Was he the bad guy in The Girl Next Door?
Yeah.
Huh. That's really interesting. Are you going to check that really quickly?
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely. He's been in movies since 1962.
Sure. I'll also mention just a little plug because I plug this whenever I can. There's a show called Kings that was on for like 8 episodes that Ian McShane starred in that was a loose adaptation of the David and Goliath story. And it's bananas and so good if you can find it. It's excellent. It's so weird and it's great.
Wow.
So he's in it. Kristen Chenoweth is in it. She's playing Easter. Who else is in it? I'm blanking on the rest of the cast.
If you want to get into some guest stars.
Yeah. Well, so you got Pablo Schreiber, who I don't know if you guys saw 11/22/63. He was very good in that. He played a guy who assassinated JFK.
Oh man. That was Mad-Eye Mooney, I believe.
For some reason Lloyd Bridges got stuck in my head and I couldn't get it out of my head.
It was Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's who it is. Who assassinated JFK.
He's in it. Go back to the cast list. Who else? Oh, thank you very much. So we got Emily Browning. We got Ian McShane, we mentioned Ricky Whittle, Cloris Leachman. Peter Stormare is another one. When I heard that how do you pronounce it? Chernobog? Chernoborg?
That sounds right.
Chernobog
is
he's
correct.
Perfect for that as well. So I'm really, really excited to see that.
Gillian Anderson as Media has been a much hyped role.
Yeah. And of course, Corbin Burnson. Finally making that comeback.
Yeah. I mean, talking about comebacks, we have Dane Cook.
Yeah.
That guy.
Wow.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Pete was a huge Dane Cook fan.
Fuck you. So, well, his early stuff was pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. You're a fan.
But then he blew up in
his... Okay, quick ranking for me. Dane Cook, Neil Gaiman, the first episode of Game of Thrones.
Well, we all know how that's going to go. Game of Thrones is the bottom. Then... Then Dane Cook, then the other one.
Like a lot of America. Like a lot of America, you rank Dane Cook above Game of Thrones.
Oh, my God. All right.
His early stuff was good, man. His early stuff was really funny.
Versus the early stuff of Game of Thrones.
Cool.
I couldn't make it through a whole episode.
Here's
of Game
what
of
I think you should do. I think you should compare late Dane Cook versus late Game of Thrones.
I mean, what about that episode of Tourgasm where Dane Cook kicked a kid out of a tower? You should watch that episode, Pete.
Oh, man.
And then he had sex with his sister.
It was pretty gross.
It was gross.
Yeah, tried to blow at her to get her to work and everything.
Yeah. Well, cool. Really into
Brian Fuller is behind the scenes. He's the showrunner on the show. Yeah. That is the thing that gets me.
That's the crew that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's the crew that I wanted to talk about. Not the key grip, though. I'm sure he or she did an amazing job.
We'll find out.
We'll sure find out if their keys are jangling around in their pockets. I mean, come on. So Brian Fuller did Pushing Daisies. He did Wonder Falls. He did Hannibal. He's done tons of other shows. He used to work on Star Trek back in the day, but he's awesome, and he's the perfect person to take on this material. I'm so, so excited to see what he does with the show, because very similar to like Vince Gilligan on Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Oh my God.
Lloyd Bridges.
Pop culture robot malfunctioning.
Yeah, pretty much. He just has confidence. Like, he knows what he's doing and he goes for it. And I'm really excited for that.
From some of the promo shots, it does look just very composed. Like, it feels like it's going to be pretty dark, but just beautifully made.
All right. Well, I think we can move on with our next segment. We'll try to make this a regular segment, which is Godmail, or Gmail for short.
Yeah,
I think that'll probably work.
That's a good way to do it.
So if you guys have questions for us you want us to answer on the podcast, you can hit us up on Twitter at Comic Book Live or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/comicbookclub. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I never say that part, so I'm not sure what it is.
Me either.
So we got a couple of questions for this first one on Twitter.
Nice.
I think we kind of did this, but Reed asks on Twitter, explain the premise of the show. The commercials haven't got it across. So I think we talked a little bit, but do you think you could do a pitch line for the show, like a short, punchy pitch line for what the show's about?
Yeah. Make it punchy.
Make it punchy.
Yeah.
A man who's run out of options in his life takes a chance on a strange opportunity. And it really bites him in the ass.
It's a terrible pitch line. The old gods and the new are battling in America, and stuck in the middle is one ex-con named Shadow Moon.
That's spoiling so much, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, not really. They're going to establish that pretty early on.
In the first issue of the comic, I was already kind of driven mad because I was screaming at the panels, like, don't do this. Why would you say yes to this?
Well, you'll
no
find
one's
out.
Ever come up and offered you like a magic beans or like a weird thing.
No.
If someone did, you'd be like, no.
Do you still have your cow?
Yeah, of course I still have my cow.
Oh, okay. You got to sell that cow for the magic beans.
Yeah. How's that milk treat?
Never sold.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the commercials for a second. How do you guys feel about those? Because I've loved them. Like, I think the trailers and everything that they've showed off is so stylish and weird. And I get the idea that it hasn't really sold the premise of the show. It's more sold the tone and the feel of the show than anything. And to me, it looks really cool.
I try to avoid commercials at all costs, so I never watch commercials.
All right, let's move on to another question.
Cool, man.
Josh Golden asks, actually, not really a question, but I'm super excited to see how they do the climax since the attraction is in my hometown and I used to work there. All right, well, we'll get back to you, Josh, in about 3 years on that,
I
think.
Yeah.
Josh has another question, though. Who would win in a fight, Mr. Nancy or Spider-Man?
Huh.
I'm going to go with Spider-Man.
So Mr. Nancy is played by Orlando Jones. Does that change your answer
at all? Oh, man, I love Orlando Jones.
Yeah, who would win a fight, Orlando Jones or Spider-Man?
I mean, does Mr. Nancy have powers?
Do we want to spoil this?
No, I feel like we should. This is a preview episode. Let's just like ease up on talking so much about it. Are you talking about in like quippiness?
Orlando Jones is super quippy.
Very. Yeah. He's equipped to quip.
Yeah, he's a super funny guy.
He is a great guy. I love him in a lot of roles he's played, but Spider-Man level quippy, I don't know.
Oh, man. What do you think, Justin? Orlando Jones or Spider-Man?
Orlando Jones.
Yeah, you're going to go with Orlando Jones?
Yeah, that's nice.
All right, guys. If you have questions, you can hit us up, as we said. We also have email comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Before we go, a couple of things to plug. As we said, we'll start posting episodes right after the show premieres on Stars. So check back either with our Comic Book Club podcast feed, or if we get it set it up in time, it'll have a separate feed on iTunes, so you can check it out there.
Yeah.
Also, we have a Patreon because we do this show and a bunch of other shows. They're free to listen to, free to check out if you come see it live, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. What else do we want to plug? Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the guests we have coming up on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
As we said, check us out at comicbookclublive.com or live in New York City on Tuesdays. And always remember, worship your gods.